Dear congregation, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ wept over the sins of Jerusalem. They had rebelled against God in the day of opportunity, and now pending judgment was coming. We're told in Luke 19, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. The city of Jerusalem, he beheld it, he looked over it, and he wept. And then in verse 42 we read, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. The day of opportunity had passed. The sins were so open before the Lord, and our Lord was weeping over Jerusalem. He wept. He shed tears. How we, the Lord's people, should weep. At certain times when we consider the state of the nation, but also the church. Well, here in verse 136 we read, rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Now as we consider these things tonight, it would be quick to point the finger at the nation, and then to the church as a whole. But it's right for us to begin by considering our own sin and mourning over it. In Psalm 130, verse 1, we read, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. The psalmist was in the depths, and there he was feeling his sin besides other things. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You see there the psalmist, yes. Here we will consider tonight, he looks out on the nation. He looks out on the people and considers the sins of the nation. But there in Psalm 130, he begins with himself. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But it doesn't end there. In verse 4 of Psalm 130, we read, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness. And so therefore, as we consider these things tonight, we bring our tears to the Lord, and we plead in wrath, remember mercy, and have mercy upon Zion. Now just notice again verse 135, the verse before, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. And as we considered there, the psalmist earnestly prayed that God would give another token of his favour. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. He had known grace. He desires more grace. Now the man who has known the grace of God will be found mourning over sin. He's known grace in verse 105. Verse 35, rather, he prays for more grace. And then, as a man who has known the grace of God, he mourns over the sins of the people. See how it follows on. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. There's been a hiding of the face of God. Show us a token of thy favour, and have mercy upon the people. Well, tonight, as we come to verse 136, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the rebellion, and then secondly, the rivers. First of all, the rebellion, and then secondly, the rivers. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. There's rebellion in the hearts of men, and the psalmist is looking out, and he's considering such rebellion around him in the kingdom, but also outside in other kingdoms of the world. Now the Bible makes plain that one is to be found the doer of the word. There shouldn't be that rebellion. In James 1 verse 22 we read, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. One is to have an eye for God's glory, and walk humbly with him. That's what all men ought to do. That's what all nations ought to be found doing. In Micah 6 verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Oh, that the nation would walk humbly with the Lord God, every individual, and then the church as a whole. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Oh, there is a blessing in keeping. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing in keeping, in walking with the Lord, keeping his word. You see, God is glorified, is he not, when we seek to keep his commandments, and when a nation seeks to do likewise. It's our aim, isn't it? The glory of God, and therefore to walk humbly with him. What a blessing it is to walk humbly with the Lord, to be in union and communion with the Lord. My beloved is mine and I am his. We know the Lord. Oh, to walk humbly with him. Is it not our aim to keep the commandments? We're prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. We feel our sin at times, don't we? We want to walk in a right way. Oh, we desire to aim at the glory of God in our walking. And how we long that others would do likewise. However, there is rebellion in our land, and sadly too, in the church. The psalmist is looking out on the nation before him. And yes, we can look out on our nation, but we also look out on the church, as the psalmist did. The commands are being broken every moment in this nation. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law, and God's law is being broken now and will be again and again. Just consider the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, what unbelief there is in the nation. So many do not believe in God. They will not put God first. There's rebellion in the heart. You remember those words our Lord said of the Jews as they rebelled against the Lord. We will not have this man to reign over us. There's the breaking of the first commandment. There's unbelief. People are not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's rebellion. Do not we get moved at times when we consider those who we know, maybe in our family, on the workplace, and they just rebel in this way. They will not believe in the Lord. And we think of a lost eternity in a place called hell that they will go to if they do not believe. We mourn at times, don't we? There's rebellion in the heart. We will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, what rebellion at the moment. There's millions not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the call of the gospel. Whosoever believeth shall be saved. But so many refuse the invitation. I remember a number of years ago, there was a certain wedding anniversary. And invitations were sent out so that certain ones would come to this meal. And one young man received the invitation from his grandparents. Sadly, he had fallen out with his grandparents a number of years earlier. Well, he received the invitation. And whilst others were accepting the invitation, he got hold of the invitation and he ripped it up into small pieces. And he went round to the home of the grandparents, and he put all these pieces through the letterbox. How he rejected the invitation. How people are rejecting the invitation. How often we have invited sinners to Christ. They break the first commandment. They put themselves before the Lord. Oh, how many are committing the sin of unbelief at this moment. Consider then how God's name is blasphemed. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Yet we hear it so often, don't we? And it grieves us. You know how it is. You can be talking with someone maybe in the workplace, or you may be in a shop and you're getting certain items off the shelf, and suddenly you hear blasphemy. The name of your Saviour is taken in vain. It hurts, doesn't it? We feel it. How could they do such a thing? Yet the name of the Lord is blasphemed every hour, every day. Consider how his day is disregarded in this nation. We read in Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yet it's laughed at, it's being disregarded, anything is done. We read in Isaiah 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. The Lord has spoken. There's blessing in keeping. No wonder we're not knowing much blessing in this nation. People forgotten God's day. But look out on the church. For some of us now, we're just the minority who believe in the fourth commandment. Yes, we own up. We fail every Lord's day. And we're grieved over it, aren't we? But we do believe in the fourth commandment. But what has happened? So many churches in our land no longer believe in the fourth commandment. In colleges, it has been taught that we're not any longer under any obligation to keep the commandment. There's rebellion, sadly, in the house of God. So few believe in the fourth commandment. Just consider Jesus kept the fourth commandment perfectly for me and you. It was required. And then Jesus died for my Sabbath breaking. Is the church right to despise the fourth commandment when Christ, as the substitute, had to keep it perfectly and then suffer the penalty for its breach? The church is wrong to despise. Yes, we're under grace, but we're under the rule to Christ. And out of love to Christ, we want to remember his day. And there is the blessing attached. Then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The Lord has spoken. And a recovery of the Lord's day in the church, the Christian Sabbath, and in the nation, we would see things turned around. How often we pray that the Lord would ride prosperously, Psalm 45, or that there would be a returning to the fourth commandment. And it's a blessing to seek to keep it. Yes, we mourn when we don't keep it as we should, but the blessing, what's one of the blessings? When our minds are more focused on Jesus, our Saviour, who loved us and gave himself for us, when we seek to shut out certain things and concentrate on him, when we seek to be at his feet, hearing his word. Of course, the devil, what doesn't want us to do those things? But it's our delight, isn't it, to be listening to Jesus through the word, to be delighting in him. Sadly, there is rebellion in Zion. Well, we could go on, couldn't we? We could think about the commandment, thou shalt not kill. Yet so many little ones are aborted in this country and around the world. Rebellion, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yet so many do and live in sin. But then there's the lust of the eye and has caused many to stumble even today. Well, we could go on. Thou shalt not kill. There's much hatred towards others. There's hatred towards God. And there's hatred towards the neighbor. Yet one should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbour as thyself. There's rebellion. We're living in a rebellious nation. And sadly, that rebellion has come in a little and is taking hold in the church. There's rebellion. In Numbers 27, verse 14, we read, "For ye rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Sin." There's rebellion there. We could go through the Old Testament and considering the rebellion of the people again and again. All such rebellion. Ezekiel 2, verse 3, "And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation." What a statement against the children of Israel. "To a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day." Turn to Daniel 9, verse 3. "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made great my confession, and said, O Lord God, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." There's Daniel. He's engaged in prayer, and he confesses the sins of the people of God. "We have sinned." Oh, we need to do such. It's one of the reasons, isn't it? We feel burdened to have these quarterly prayer meetings, not only for the nation, but also for the church. "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and have rebelled." There's Daniel. He's owning up to the rebellion amongst the people of God. And we need to do such. It's sad to say it, but we need to do such. What has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation? Yes, God has not forsaken his true people, and we're thankful for that. Yet there has been a forsaking of him and his word. Oh, how the church needs to pray. "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself." There's the prayer, "Lord, look, have mercy." We know the situation before us. We're aware of it. We see the declension and the decay and the rebellion. "But let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand." Let it be so on the Redeemer, the Mediator, the King and the Head. And let the King ride prosperously. Let our Head appear in a wonderful way, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. What do we read in verse 135? "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." Shine on thy servant. Shine on us. We've rebelled. Shine on us. There's rebellion. There's rebellion in the nation, and we're grieved. What a day to live in. So much rebellion. But we humbly say there's rebellion in the church, and then there's rebellion even in our own hearts. "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Well, secondly tonight, the rivers. The rivers. "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." Rivers. Not just one or two tears. not just one or two moments of mourning. No rivers of waters run down mine eyes. Let me just illustrate this. You know, when you get really upset, you may have had some bad news, or you're in pain and agony, and you begin to sob. You remember Mary on the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath day, the day of resurrection. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. What a day! Our Lord triumphantly rose from the grave. But Mary was weeping. And she was weeping uncontrollably. She couldn't stop crying. If you follow through the passage, there she is, she's weeping. She couldn't stop. You've been there at times, you just can't stop. I saw a little boy last year fall off his bike as he went over a piece of wood, and it hurt him. He was in pain, and he cried so much he couldn't stop. And our hearts go out when we see a child in such pain. Or sometimes there's such pain within that the rivers of water flows down our eyes and then our cheeks. Do you remember certain times when you cried so much that you began to taste your tears? Has that happened? I'm sure it has. You've cried so much, so many tears come down. You've began to taste them as they come to your lips. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Here's the psalmist in great sorrow. Matthew Henry wrote, it is a great sorrow. Rivers of waters, not just one or two. He's so moved. He's so affected by the sins of the nation, but also the church, but also his own sin. He mourns. We can become so upset when someone is so unkind to us. The words like a knife go in. Sometimes someone can do us wrong, and it's like a hammer coming down upon us. And we feel it, and we're grieved. Oh, think of the rebellion in the nation, but sadly also in the church. Are we not moved at times? What has happened? Do you remember that prayer meeting before the pandemic? We looked to the Lord. But the pandemic is coming to an end, we trust. How we need the Lord even more. What has happened in our nation? What has happened in the church? Are we not grieved? How people have lifted up their fist against God in the nation. They've despised him. And in the church, there's been rebellion. And we've been moved. I remember a number of years ago in Cheltenham, Providence Chapel, where Pastor Puyan is, there was a joint prayer meeting for the pastors. A number of ministers had red eyes as they were praying. And afterwards, there's times when we become so tired and weary when we mourn. Psalm 6, verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. Rivers of waters come down mine eyes, and I make my bed to swim. You know how it is when the pillow becomes damp with your tears. Here's the psalmist. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. There are times it affects us. You may come home from the workplace with a heavy heart, and you sit in the chair and you mourn in your heart. Your spouse comes along maybe, or someone in the family. How have you gone on today? It hasn't been easy, particularly because someone was unkind to you. There was rebellion. It affects us at times. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Now note the connection again in verse 135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Oh, for a token of thy favour, a little glimpse of thy face, because of the enemies that are around me and the rebellion in their hearts. Here's the psalmist. He's engaged in prayer. And do not we bring our tears to the Lord? Lord, what has happened in the nation? What has happened in the church? And at times we say this, what has happened in our hearts? We desire God to take note of the rebellion in the nation and come in his justice to act against the evil, but also to come in his justice to show mercy. Lamentation 3 verse 48, mine eye runneth down with the rivers of waters for the destruction of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. We're grieved, but we don't keep the tears, as it were, on our laps. We bring the tears to the Lord in prayer. You see, when we truly mourn, we feel it, we feel the rebellion, but we turn to God. Lord, take note. Note those words again in Lamentations 3. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without intermission till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Lord, see the state. Take note of the rebellion in the nation. Take note of the rebellion in the church and have mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Have mercy particularly upon the church. We bring our tears to the Lord, those tears that are running down like a river. And we look to him for mercy, taking comfort. There is mercy to be found in the Lord. Daniel 9 verse 9, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. But just notice that. Here's the people of God. Here's Daniel. Here's the people of God. We've rebelled against thee, but we're coming to thee now with our tears, believing that there is forgiveness with thee. And you know, though it's not pleasant, it's a good thing when the church comes to that point where they mourn over the sin and then they go to the Lord. We bring our tears to the Lord. We pour out your heart. We pour out our hearts to him. When you're upset, what's a good thing to do? Is turn to the Lord in prayer. Well, it's good to bring our tears to the King, he who is over all, but also he who is King and head of the church. Have mercy, Lord, in these days. Rivers of waters are running down our eyes, but make thy face to shine. And have mercy on Zion. And as we look out on the nation, Lord, have mercy. We've read in days past as what thou hast done in this nation. Forsake us not any longer. Come back, O Lord. It's interesting in closing, isn't it? Verse 135, make thy face to shine. Verse 136, we're crying. We're crying, Lord. Bring us to a day of blessing. Bring us to a day of joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And we can be in expectation, though we may mourn over Zion, and mourn over the nation, and mourn over our own hearts. God is a God of grace, and he will show favor towards his people. Amen.